6 months since the Tunisian protesters deposed their president, Ben Ali, BBC correspondent Jeremy Bowen wanted to check in on the country that started the Arab Spring.
Wassim Harissi's radio show lampoons Tunisia's leaders. Political jokes would have put him in prison before the revolution. Now Tunisians are allowed to laugh at them, and Wassim's a radio star.
Hello.
He does all the voices in a satirical phone-in. Wassim's Colonel Gaddafi is a regular caller. Tunisia's former president Ben Ali, who fled in January, argues with the colonel about who's most popular.
My people love me. They love me all.
After the show, Wassim says Tunisians were lucky.
You could say our revolution was clean. The former president turned out to be a coward. He just ran away, not like the others, like the poor Libyans, or in Syria.
Overthrowing President Ben Ali took a month of protests, in the face of the regime's police firing tear gas and also shooting to kill. Tunisia's is the most complete of all the Arab revolutions, but many of the people who now can stroll down streets that were battlegrounds in December and January are disappointed. Back in January, Tunisia showed the rest of the Arab world that it was possible to remove a leader despite a police state and despite his powerful Western friends. Since then, Tunisia has also shown that getting rid of a dictator doesn't solve all a country's problems, that years of corruption and mismanagement leave a very difficult legacy. The revolution started here in Sidi Bouzid, about 3 hours' drive from Tunis, after a young man, Mohamed Bouazizi, set himself on fire on the 17th of December. Government inspectors had confiscated his cart and some boxes of pears he was selling without a license. And by the time Mohammed died on the 4th of January, pent-up rage was spilling out across the country. The inspectors who confiscated his produce sit in their office in a small whitewashed building with sky-blue shutters. The only woman, Feda Hamdi, wept as she remembered how she spent 110 days in prison, she says unjustly, after he became the people's hero. Even these officials, once symbols of a repressive regime, agree that a revolution was coming.
The revolution was going to happen in Tunisia, today, tomorrow, or after tomorrow, because of the accumulation of frustration. It was like a full glass of water, and he was the drop that made it overflow.
Sidi Bouzid is full of men killing time. Elections are due in October, but on their own, they won't create jobs.
There are no jobs. One day you work, the next day you don't. I drink 50 coffees a day. I'm all the time in a cafe. At noon, at 1, at 2, at 5, at 10, 11. I want to have a job, build my life, be rich and work.
It is not a real revolution. It lacks a lot. The problem is, I'm afraid what we are dreaming of won't be realized. A real revolution should include and change many things, like things in education, health, employment, more justice, more freedom.
The old Arab world couldn't satisfy the people. They've shown they won't be ignored anymore. So how long will their patience last if the new world doesn't deliver?
BBC Middle East editor Jeremy Bowen.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.